hello there, a warm welcome to The Sweet Spot. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer talking all things golf. If you've never joined us on the show before, welcome along. Here's what we do. We look back on what happened last weekend and then look ahead to this week's tournaments. And hopefully Steve marks your card with a winner or two. Steve, all well. It's an early start, isn't it? The first thing we really need to stress, obviously, is that the schedule's different this week. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, we tee off on Wednesday morning with the Betfred British Masters. So that's why we are up with the lark today. And, you need to get your bets on by close of business Tuesday night, really.
Yeah, I think they actually tee off at 7 a.m. on Wednesday, don't they? So if you want to get involved in cross doubles at the best prices and all the best each way odds, it's definitely best to play before the first ball is struck. Talking about each way as well, there's a really good offer from Betfred, who sponsored the Masters this week. They're going 10 places. We'll come to that when we look ahead to this week. But first of all, Steve, let's review last week. And what a great return to form for Rory McIlroy in his favourite tournament. He's left a pretty sketchy start to the year behind in spectacular fashion. Really nice to see him win, wasn't it? He's one of the good guys, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of people wouldn't have allowed him to go off at 20-1. We were discussing last week that some people would have been shocked to see 20-1 McIlroy at Quail Hollow, arguably his favourite stateside track. So I think he would have been popular last week, despite the terrible form in the lead-up. It seems like now the spectators have come back, a bit more of an atmosphere. It seems to have got his juices flowing. He admitted that post-lockdown, playing in front of no fans, he found it really difficult. And I think maybe the buzz inspired him last week. And obviously the coach switch as well. Pete Cowan, his work wanders immediately. They've abandoned the draw with the driver. He says he's only going to hit cuts with the driver now to get some extra control. He's going the sort of Dustin Johnson route. That's what made Dustin Johnson a major champion. So, things are looking bright for Rory McIlroy. And, we're just gutted that Justin Thomas didn't win the Masters, because our 20,001 acca that we started the year getting very excited about, because Rory McIlroy is peaking for the USPGA now. Which is the tournament, the major that you think he'd have a best chance on at the start of the year. Two-time USPGA champion. And the last time the USPGA was played at Keir Island, Rory McIlroy won by 8 shots.
Indeed. How important was it, do you think, that the advice he got from his bag man on 18? Because he fluffed his drive, didn't he? Almost stuck it in that beautiful little river. Isn't it gorgeous, that little stream that just meanders down the 18th? It's one of the prettiest things in golf. But anyway, he found himself in a horrible position on the bank of that stream, didn't he? And it was rehearsing all sorts of weird and wonderful shots. And then his caddy just said, look, just take the drop. And I think that was probably important, wasn't it?
I think it's probably the highlight of Harry Diamond's career, really, because normally... Harry Diamond just doesn't say much, just carries the bag, takes the paychecks. But in that regard, he got heavily involved, didn't he? I mean, it was a tough decision there. I don't think many people would have taken the drop. A lot of players would have just hacked into the, you could have got like 40 yards of run onto the heart of the fairway there. But they knew they were going to get a flatter lie there. I mean, the third shot was superior to the drop, when there's a brilliant third shot from McIlroy from that position. If that had all gone wrong, questions may have been asked if he double bogeyed that. But I was pleased for Harry Diamond, because he gets a lot of stick from for not being a professional caddy. He was just Rory's mate, and then he's on the bag. So it all worked out wonderfully for them. And short price favourite for the USPGA now, especially with Dustin Johnson's injury issues.
Absolutely, and a few other players out of form. Big Johnny Rahm missed the cut, didn't he? He's really not playing particularly well. And Bryson thought he missed the cut, didn't he? What a to-do that was, wasn't it? He flew home on Friday thinking he'd missed the cut, landed wherever it is he lives, and then was told to get back in the plane and get back because he'd made the cut.
Incredible drama, yeah. And then he couldn't go straight back because the pilots refused to do so. They said they needed their rest. They weren't legally allowed to go straight back. So then he had to stay overnight in Dallas, where he lives, go back 2:45 a.m. the following morning. So
he gives it the big one, doesn't he, about being the scientist and triangulation and all this stuff. And he can't even read the leaderboard to see whether he's got a chance of making the cut or not. I'm not sure that he's quite as super intelligent as he makes out.
Well, it's just Friday afternoon, the conditions turn brutal. And yeah, he sort of went out from 90th place to 65th or whatever. But yeah, we had Victor Hovland out in that Friday afternoon win. So don't get me started on that. But yeah, Victor Hovland was the right bet last week. I don't regret that at all. He played really well, finished third, two shots off the lead in the end. But yeah, he was out in the toughest of the conditions. No regrets on Victor Hovland.
I don't need to get you started. You didn't get yourself started on that.
No, I thought Victor was right, but I do have regrets of Will Zalatoris. I think perhaps the getting engaged in the lead up to the tournament wasn't ideal. I think it was a bit too much romance in the air for Will Zalatoris. A bit too much "How's your father?" I suspect in the lead up. He just wasn't the races, was he? Will Zalatoris just all of a sudden, for the first time in about a year, he didn't play like Will Zalatoris. So yeah, I question whether a bit too much rumpy pumpy was in play there.
Blimey, you have to factor all sorts in, don't you? Anyone else catch your eye in a negative or positive way?
I think John Rahm, as you mentioned, just seems a little bit angry. Like he was glaring at spectators, and it's not like fatherhood has calmed him. His fatherhood may have gone the other way. Maybe the lack of sleep's getting to him. I don't know. But I didn't like the way he was conducting himself last week. I mean, Keith Mitchell, hugely impressive. We'll come on to him. We'll come on to him later in the AT&T Byron Nelson. And obviously, we've got to discuss the Canary Islands Championship. You prepared to discuss that?
Fully prepared. I've got to say, and you're going to hate me for this, I did have a bet on Higo at halfway.
I don't blame you. Having a bet before it started. I mean, he had outstanding claims. I mean, we were suggesting the Higo Thomas double might come in. I'm so pleased that Thomas flopped last week, because Higo clearly the man to beat. But I mean, I couldn't put up another favourite after the Antoine Rosner debacle, could I? It was just infeasible.
I mean, it's not like he's 6-4, is it? He was about 14-1, wasn't he?
I know.
These favourites, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. I just felt the vultures would be circling if I put up another favourite.
What vultures? You've got vultures.
There you come. No, I just went for the bigger prices, but it was just a ridiculous decision, because Higo, he's 68 under par for that Canary Island swing. I think missing him at 40-1 in Gran Canaria was the big one. Yeah, if you were on at 40-1 in Gran Canaria, you'd be much more inclined to stay aboard the Higo train, wouldn't you, throughout the Canary Islands? He's just relentless.
He's incredible, isn't he? I mean, he's absolutely won half the track there, hasn't he?
Say how hard it is to follow up low rounds, don't they? It's an old cliche, and it was so hard to follow. Every flipping round was in the low 60s.
He's had a good 3 weeks, hasn't he? He's earned €500,000. He's won 2 tournaments. I mean, blimey, you'd love to be Garrick Higo, wouldn't you?
You would, and he's got in all the majors now. I mean, the only positive was that I've got another chapter for my book, isn't it? Garrick Higo Destroyed Me was the book title you suggested.
I did, but I mean, he hasn't destroyed you, has he? Look at it all. I mean,
he's put me off the Canary Islands. I never want to see the Canary Islands again. I'll never return to the Canary Islands. I think if I boarded an aircraft to the Canary Islands, I'll be physically sick when I read the brochure. I can't go back there after that debacle. That's the worst swing of my career, the Canary Islands swing.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. My tip in the Canary Islands swing was terrible, but I've drawn a line under it now. I am actually still quite confident, incredibly. I don't believe that he messed up the Canary Islands swing is going to be on my gravestone. I'm confident I can get something a little bit better.
Steve, come on, you're too hard on yourself, mate. You mustn't be so brutally tough on yourself, mate. These things happen. It's hard to predict what happens in golf. But, I mean, we should just discuss him, because he's 21. He seems to be absolutely nerveless. How big can he become in the game of golf?
Well, we'll see him on the biggest stage. I mean, you say he's absolutely nerveless. I mean, he's playing in front of no spectators on a ridiculously easy tracks. I mean, you and I could go 27 under par around there.
And actually did say in his interview that he was nervous from the first tee. So that was a pretty rubbish comment. But anyway,
let's see how he goes. He's great. He's got all the tools. And he's really young, and he's got the USPGA next week. So let's see how he goes. If he makes the cut in the USPGA, that'll be a feather in the cap. No, I'm a big Garrett Higo fan. I've been from day one. All of his wins now have come coastal tracks over the Atlantic Ocean, So we need to see him win at different types of courses.
Different oceans.
Different oceans, indeed, yeah.
And he falls into the category of golf or humans whose surname is a nickname, isn't it? I mean, what would his nickname be? If your surname's Higo, that's a nickname, isn't it? It's like, you know, if you were called Garrett Higgins, your mates would call you Higo, but...
Oh, there's plenty to work with there, isn't there? I mean, the hippopotamus. I like the hippopotamus because I was thinking he's crushed me like a hippopotamus.
Because we did have a bit of hope, didn't we, going into the on Sunday morning with your 175-1 long shot, Robin Skjot Sigrist. And we actually thought of a nickname for him at halfway, didn't we? Robin the Beast, Skjot Sigrist. And he eagled the first, didn't he? Got quite close. It didn't quite
happen. Well, he got tied second. He was tied second through a handful of holes. And, hopes were high. And then he had a horrible horseshoe. I don't know if you're watching it, actually. He had a horrible horseshoe that would have took him to clear second place, I believe. And then Higa went bananas from there. So, yeah, Robin Skjot Sigrist, I think is how he's pronounced it, finished 12th, which is no good to man nor beast.
Not really, mate. Anything else from the Canaries, or do you just want to draw a line on it, put it in a bin bag and chuck it on a skit?
Well, Nicolai Hogard rubbed a little extra salt into the wounds because he was our 100-1 tip for the Tenerife Open, plays rubbish over the weekend there. Same course following week, ties fourth, gets the place money for his followers. So I hope there were some Nicolai Hogard followers out there. I think he's great. I think, I'm in love with the Hogards.
Excellent. There's another chapter for the book. Right, should we move on?
I think we should. Let's draw a line under the Canary Islands. Never go to the Canary Islands.
I'll be going there. Don't worry about that. I thought it looked absolutely gorgeous. Right then, first tournament I'm going to look at this week is the Betfred British Masters. For some reason, I'm not quite sure if it tees off on Wednesday morning. So Wednesday through to Saturday in Sutton Coldfield, obviously the legendary Bell. Is it legendary, the Belfry? It's famous, isn't it? I'm not sure it's legendary.
I've played there. So that obviously that makes it legendary, doesn't it?
Did I play there with you at the Ed Chamberlain's golf day?
No, I've never been invited to that. I'm not a big enough cheese for that, but I've played there on another occasion.
I played there with Philip De Freitas, of all people.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Blimey, how is he?
He was a nice fella, very nice fella. Yeah.
Amazing bowler, wasn't he? Yeah, very, all the swing it both ways. Yeah, incredible fella, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's my claim to it. It's actually, do you know what? Although it's got those kind of iconic holes, there's a lot of fairly mundane bread and butter par fours, isn't there? It's not like 18 holes of magic. It's kind of five holes of magic. But anyway, I mean, it's going to be
great. It's a four-time Ryder Cupper. It's a four-time Ryder Cupper. I mean, that's where you get your status from, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Should we have a look at the betting? A better quality of field, I would say, this week than what we've been looking at down in the Canaries. Robert McIntyre, 12-1 favourite, roughly. 18's Kamer. 20-1, I've got Wise written. Oh, Riesberger. 22, Horsfield and Hoggard. That's Rasmus Hoggard. 28-1, Willett, who is he's the tournament host. So what does that entail this week, Steve?
I don't really, not a lot when there's no spectators, is there? I mean, just promoting and, getting the right players in front of the cameras, I guess. I don't think he'd be a natural at that, Danny Willett, but we shall see. I don't think he's the most, we shall see. Yeah. I don't think it's helpful to your chances. If you're thinking of backing Danny Willett, I don't think it's helpful to your chances, because I remember Lee Westwood was host previously and he was the favourite and well-fancied favourite and he didn't enjoy the role. So we shall see.
All right, then. The weather's not going to be great, is it? It's pretty dull and windy and wet. Will there be a draw by it? So have you managed to glean anything from the weather forecast? Not that they're remotely accurate.
Not a lot of wind. You know, just a bit of light rain. No, I think the scoring conditions are quite good, actually. I'm fairly confident the Brabazon's going to play a little bit easier than it normally does.
Righty-ho. How many selections have you got?
I got four.
Okay. Right then, who's your main selection going to be?
My number one selection is Rasmus Hoggard. Last year's UK Championship, by far the best course form to go on. I mean, there's been loads of European Tour events at the Belfry, but only one in the last 13 years, and that was the one-off UK Championship, which they brought in to bolster the schedule last year. Hoggard won that event. He improved his score in every round, opened with a 73, closed with a 65. He's only turned 20 in March, and I think he's going to get his third European Tour title on Sunday. You know, this is a prodigy. Both the Hogarth brothers, brilliant from a very young age. He opened at 25-1. We racingpost.com readers gobbled that up. I still, you know, I think there's a case for Hogarth being favourite this week. I think he should probably be the favourite given his all-round quality and scope for further improvement. We talked about, you know, we should learn our lessons from Garrick Higger. That was a progressive young player who hadn't showed how good he was. I think Hogarth still got plenty more to come. His last two tournaments were on the PGA Tour in the Zurich Classic Pairs event alongside Vaughan Taylor, and then the Valspar Championship. Missed the cut by a shot in both of them, but they were decent efforts in course debuts. Taylor not a great partner. Hogarth carried him.
How did he end up with Vaughan Taylor?
Very, very odd. I've no idea.
His father.
Very strange combination. Don't know how they came together, but what I do know is that Hogarth carried him on day one. 12 of the 18 holes, Hogarth's score counted. And then the following week in the Valspar, a second round 69, solid effort, unlucky not to make the cut. He's got a massive downgrade from the Valspar to the Betfred. You know, on the bare form, it's miscut, but he's going from great fields to a very average one. The last time he played on the European Tour was in the Austrian Open. Brilliant weekend, finished 12th. So, yeah, I think Rasmus Hogarth is the new modern king of the Belfry.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. And who is your second selection? If it's not Hogarth, who will it be?
It will be Sam Horsfield, another classy youngster making the downgrade from the PGA Tour to the European Tour. He missed the cut by a shot in the Valspar. On the European Tour, he knows he's a big fish in a small pond. He's a two-time champion. He's confident. His breakthrough came in the Hero Open last summer at the Forest of Arden. Forest of Arden, 20 minutes down the road from the Belfry, similarities. He had a back problem at the start of the year, didn't play until the Kenya Open. But he's emphatically proved fitness and form. Eighth place in Kenya Open, third in the Savannah Classic. Slow start in freezing temperatures in Austria. Not ideal for a Florida-based player with back problems. Got tailed off. Zoomed up at the weekend as the temperatures went up. Finished 15th. And then fourth in the Gran Canaria Lopezan Open. So, yeah, I really like this event. I just see it as a Hogarth versus Horsfield contest.
Okay, it'll be like Line of Duty, won't it? Who is H? Which H is going to prevail here?
Absolutely, yeah. Let's hope it's not such a disappointing ending. A lot of people were disappointed with that ending of Line of Duty, weren't they?
Yeah, I didn't mind it, actually. I thought it was quite sort of logical. I like the way that you know, they kind of tied up a lot of loose ends. It wasn't perfect, but...
I think people expect too much from endings, don't they? My wife will sit down and watch dramas like 100 episodes, I don't think my wife's ever been satisfied with an ending.
Well, mostly, of course, they, you know, you never get the kind of Armageddon, because they normally have another series to think of, don't they? But anyway.
True.
You've got two more selections. Do either of those begin with H?
No. Two more at much bigger prices. Richard Mansell, no relation to Nigel Mansell, the Formula One legend, no relation to Mickey Mansell, the darts journeyman darts player. Richard Mansell is making a real name for himself now. He was runner-up in the Urum Bank Open. That was the second post-lockdown event. You probably don't remember that one. We had a very low-key resumption of the European Tour. We had Austrian Open, then we had the Urum Bank Open. Mansell finished second in that. Then he finished second in a Challenge Tour event a few months later. He's already won on the Euro Pro Tour in 2019. And in his last four starts on the European Tour, he'd been really solid. 28th in Austria, and then he got progressively better in the Canaries. Made it into the final three ball on Sunday. Dropped to 12th place on Sunday, but I think he takes lots of positives from last week, hitting the ball really well. And he lives close to the Belfry. He's a Cannock man. He's based in Cannock, which is hard.
Cannock, oh. Yeah,
do you know Cannock? Staffordshire, yeah, you know Cannock. Your wife from Staffordshire.
I think Cannock's most famous son is Stan Collymore.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, that's Cannock's close by. The Belfry suits him, ball striker's track, and the way Mansell's been hitting it the last few weeks, I think he can go well there.
I've looked at one bookmaker and they're going 110-1. That's not bad, is it?
There you go. And the final one at an even bigger price is Niall Kearney, another one who jetted over from the Canaries full of beans. He closed with a 61 on Sunday. It was an amazing round. He even had a bogey in there. A 61, astonishingly good score. He finished fourth. So Kearney's clearly found his A game. He also sparkled in Gran Canaria. He shot a third round 64 in Gran Canaria on his way to 21st place. And he's already proven he can handle the Belfry. At a Euro Pro Tour event there in 2014, Kearney finished fifth. He was a great amateur. He twice won the Irish PGA Championship. And at the age of 33, you know, he may be peaking as a pro. Certainly worth chancing at the prices.
Okay, talking of amateurs, by the way, who won the Walker Cup? I watched a little bit of it before before the main action started on Sunday, and it looked like it was going to be quite close. I don't know who ended up winning it, do you?
I didn't have time to watch that. No, no, I was just devoting myself to the professional tours. You got to use your time well these days.
Absolutely. Time is precious. Why don't you fancy Robert McIntyre, the favourite?
I think Robert McIntyre's overrated. I don't like being critical of him because he's a popular lad. He seems a nice chap. Everyone seems to like him. But I just think he's getting so much column inches and so much coverage and hysteria for it doesn't measure up to his achievement. All he's won is a sort of joke event, the Cypress Showdown, where the scores are reset after each round. He's yet to win a 72-hole stroke play event. I think the hysteria is based on Scottish golf fans. Scotland's the home of golf, and they're desperate. The Scotsmen are desperate for a great Scottish golfer. They haven't had one since Colin Montgomery, and all their hope is pinned on Robert McIntyre. I think he's overrated. I think he's a good player, and I think he can win, but I think he's going off for too short of prices.
Okay, fair enough. All done and dusted for the British Masters?
I think so. Masters.
Okay. Don't forget, though, like I do say, there's a huge variance in the each-way terms. One bookmaker going 5 places and one Betfred are going 10 places, so do shop around. Okay, let's ping over to America for the AT&T Byron Nelson traditional event. What's the name of the course?
We're at TPC Craig Ranch in McKinney, which is just north of
Dallas.
They
don't normally play it there, do they?
No. First time there. First time there.
It
used to be TPC Four Seasons. Yeah, we're here for the first time. It's a long track, 7,468 yards, par 72. We do have a little bit of course form from the 2008 Nationwide Tour Championship and the 2012 Web.com Tour Championship. There's a few players that are playing in this that have played in that. It looks a big hitter's course to me, as well as the yardage. You've got plenty of space between the fairways and the trees. 4 par fives, 1 drivable par 4. Thunderstorm due any second now. Let's see if we can hear the thunderstorm from Dallas. There it is. So it's softening the track up nicely.
Okay, let's have a look at the market. Bryson DeChambeau and Big Johnny Rahm, 8-1 joint favourites. Spieth, 9-1. Berger, 14s. Matsuyama, 20s. Fitzpatrick, Scheffler, 20s as well. Koepka, 22. So a really good field, this very hot field. I think we've got a major coming up, haven't we, after this? Is it 2 weeks hence?
Next week, mate. Next week. We've got the USPGA Championship next week.
Right, okay. All right, then. So, this is a really good field, this, isn't it? Looking forward to this event. The first tee shot is hit at 1 o'clock on Thursday, so place your bets by then. And how many tips have you got, Steve?
I've got 3.
Okay, fair enough. Who's going to be the headliner?
The headliner is Bryson DeChambeau, who was an offer at
double. Oh, blimey, I didn't expect that.
Unusual for me. I just think this course is ideal for him. It was a double-figure price before Dustin Johnson withdrew. We must mention that. Dustin Johnson has withdrawn. He's been making a habit of these 11th-hour withdrawals. This one, it seems, is not just because he doesn't fancy it. This one is because of a knee injury that's developed. He's suffering a little bit of knee pain. So Dustin Johnson is out. DeChambeau's shortened slightly, but I still think 9-1 is a fair price. This course right up his street. And in an interview at Quail Hollow after his round on Sunday, he said how much he likes Craig Ranch. So he's got a significant edge here. The course suits and he knows it much better than most of the field. DeChambeau lives in Dallas. That's where he was dashing back to and going back and forth last week. So he can get lots of work done on the range. He's got a few issues with the driver. He can sort out that early in the week on the range, enjoy the home comforts, and then make merry on a big hitters track. He closed with back-to-back 68s at Quail Hollow. Hadn't played since the Masters, so it was a bit rusty early on. Thought he'd missed the cut. All that drama went on it on his net jet. But an 8-under par weekend at Quail Hollow is really impressive under those circumstances. Every department of his game, his short game was fantastic last week. Every department of his game is in order, apart from his driver. He just needs to straighten out his driver a little bit. He's got Chris Como with him on the range in Texas there. So I think if DeChambeau can just get his drives on the map a little bit more, he's the man to beat this week.
Does he... does he ever kind of rein it back a bit with the driving, or is he still, you know, a little bit too kind of pumped up and desperate for distance?
When the big dog comes out, he just unloads, doesn't he? But you know, he can irons. He has been taking irons off the tee when necessary. Three wood, yeah, he does have that ability. There's two others. There was just going to be one other, but I've decided I haven't been firing enough bullets lately.
I
need to fire some more bullets. And the next best is Scotty Scheffler, another Dallas-based pro. So I've got two Dallas boys going for me. He's lived in Dallas virtually his whole life. One of the best maidens on the PGA Tour, if not the best major on the PGA Tour. Loves playing in his home state. Finished runner-up in the WGC Dell Technologies match play in Austin, Texas last month. End of March. He's contended numerous times on the PGA Tour now. I think he's ready. I mean, he's missed a few putts when he's got in contention, but I think he's learned from it. Yeah, it's a bit like Sam Burns. You know, Sam Burns, we were losing faith in Sam Burns. You know, the more time you're up there, the more experience you get at contending, the more likely you are to make the breakthrough. He's a two-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour, so he can know and get the job done. Loads of power, loads of ball striking class, massive runner at Craig Ranch. I think the course suits him well.
Okay, and finally...
And the final selection is Keith Mitchell, who would have broke my heart if he'd won last week. His ball striking in the last few weeks has been magnificent. He started playing well in the Texas Open just over a month ago. Then he was the standout performer in the Zurich Classic Pairs event. Remember, we tipped him for the Valspar and we discussed he finished fourth alongside Brandt Snedeker. But Snedeker has happily admitted since that if that was an individual event, Mitchell would have won by 10 shots. It looked like the Mitchell bubble had burst in the Valspar, fine around 82, which is why I put off him for last week. We subsequently discovered that his putter had somehow been knocked out of alignment. Did you see that story?
No,
his,
I didn't.
His putter had been damaged. He took 42 putts in the final round of the Valspar. Then his team spotted the problem, corrected the putter, and he putted solidly last week in the final group with Rory McIlroy. Didn't disgrace himself. Finished third. So, yeah, Mitchell's got some good form in Texas. Third in this event in 2018. Sixth in the 2018 Houston Open. The way he's hitting it. Yeah, you know, I was surprised he was such a big price. I mean, it's 80-1 out there about Mitchell.
That's amazing, isn't it? Perhaps that's just the market been a bit slow to latch on to a rising talent. It happens sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, he's not particularly glamorous, is he?
Well, I think it's that 82 at the Valspar. I mean, yeah, if you didn't know about the misaligned putter, then... Yeah, you perhaps just think he's gone at the game, then, wouldn't you?
Okay, well, given that we're in Dallas, we better talk about JR, John Rahm. What do you make of his chance? Because, I mean, I must admit, when I had a cursory look at the market, I thought, blimey, I wouldn't go near that with a barge pole.
No. I think he's a favourite you struggle to get excited about. I mean, his form was really consistent. Well, his ball striking was really consistent up to last week. And then, as I say, he just looked a bit tetchy last week. I don't fancy John Rahm.
Spieth,
yeah. Home game for Spieth. Plenty of room to manoeuvre off the tee. Not played much, though, has he? Not played much. Maybe a tad rusty. Yeah, I think, if that thunderstorm arrives, I do much prefer Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, if you're looking for dangers, I can see you clutching for dangers there.
No, not really. I'm quite happy to go the three. Go on, what were we going to say?
Well, Will Zalatoris, if he can wake up from his slumber. Last week's flop was, you know, hugely uncharacteristic. He's another man who's lived in Texas his whole life. He would know this course well. Siwoo Kim, Dallas-based, one for us at the start of the year. I could see Siwoo Kim playing well. And Mark Leishman, last name off the list. Mark Leishman, one of the few in this field with some competitive course form. He finished seventh in the 2008 Nationwide Tour Championship that we mentioned earlier. Just won the pairs event with Cameron Smith. So I could be tempted by Mark Leishman, but you can't have them all, can you?
No, you certainly can't. You'd be having 156 bets in each tournament if you did, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And my daughter actually always tells me to do that. And then I'm getting frustrated. And why don't you just back all of them? She really can't get her head around the fact that won't pay off.
Oh, well, I suppose it's one way of guaranteeing a winner. But yeah, no, it wouldn't be for me. Okay, then let's recap the selections this week. In the Betfred British Masters, you're going for...
We're going for Rasmus Højgaard, Sam Horsfield, Richard Mansell and Niall Kearney.
And in the AT&T Byron Nelson.
We've got Bryson DeChambeau, Scotty Scheffler and Keith Mitchell.
Excellent. Jolly good. If you're only having one bet on the golf this week, what would it be?
I think you should have the Rasmus Højgaard, Bryson DeChambeau each way double.
Will you be having that?
I will be having that. Yeah, maybe you should have that with the firms that are off in all these wacky places, because yeah, you should take advantage of them this week. You know, Betfred sponsor the tournament. They're keen to generate interest in their event. You know, that is superb, superb place terms they're offering there.
Absolutely. Jolly good. Okay, anything else caught your eye over the last week? Are you in good fettle?
Yeah. I'm in good fettle. Yeah, I'm going to be locked myself in the shed all weekend getting the player guide ready for the USPGA. That's a mammoth mission, 156 run a player guide. So,
with the USPGA, you've got a lot of really obscure guys, haven't you? Those tournament pros.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that is a challenge, but that's fair enough. You know, you've got to win your freedom before you can be released from those sort of situations. No, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the golf this week, and we've got a major coming up, so that's good. We've got the pubs. You can eat and drink indoors from next Monday. That's great news, isn't it?
Yeah. No, we are incredibly blessed, aren't we?
Cinema.
Yeah. They're back open soon, are they?
They are. Yeah, you've got to wear your mask during the performance, but that's not the end. I think they let you off if you're eating. So if you buy yourself a nice big bag of what would you have at the cinema? Revels.
Oh, you like a revel, do you?
What do you go for when you're in the cinema and you
just want a bit? huge amounts of popcorn? Yeah, just
exactly. You get the popcorn. Churn it in. That'll last you the whole show. You just keep your mask off then, can't you?
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't work, does it? I remember when I was on a flight in the middle of lockdown, like the air stewardesses brought the food out, everyone's masked up, and then the food, you can't eat with a mask on, can you?
Well, of course you can't. I mean, they weren't trying to get you to eat with the mask on.
Well, no, I just thought that they shouldn't be serving anything, you know, that was my feeling on it.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually.
But Ryanair were keen to make a few quid, I guess, but
blimey,
we digress.
Jolly good. All right then, Steve, I think that's it. Thank you very much indeed for watching. Don't forget to leave us some comments at the bottom of the feed. Tell us who you fancy. Good luck with your bets. Bet carefully, as we always say. And then we're back next week, Steve, aren't we, for a bumper USPGA special.
Yeah, Kia Ireland, fantastic course. You know, we've got the Rory McIlroy story developing nicely. Is he too short to back now? Possibly, but we shall see.
When would you make your mind up on that? Would you have a fancy now, or would you go with a blank, a clear mind?
No. I mean, I want to see this tournament. You know, there's a lot of big players playing this week, isn't there? So, Sunday night, I'll have my plans in place.
Lovely. Okay, Steve, good luck this week. We'll see you next Tuesday. Hope you can join us next week for another Sweet Spot. Mm.